It's Monday, January 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 734, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And by Mosey, Mosey for Business. Get 15% off using promo code PODCAST15 at MoseyPro.com. Hey everyone, Happy New Year. Got a great show lined up for you. Yes, the TriCaster is still in the container. I'll explain more in a second, but we're ready to ship. So an early show here at GNC. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio, great overlooking greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and happy new year to you, and what a great start to the new year. It's always a tradition in this household that we get up as early as possible on New Year's Day, and sometimes that's difficult depending upon, you know, where we've been the night before, but this year, we did something pretty cool, and I'll share with you in here in a few seconds. But for all of the Ohana, welcome to the show. Welcome back after your Christmas and New Year's break, and I hope that you're tuned in because we've got a lot of stuff that's going to be charging at you here over the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's going to be completely crazy, an insane amount of content going to be coming to Geek News Central. We're ready and ramped up and ready to go to CES 2012. As you can see, I've got the banner up, if I can point at it directly, as a reminder that we're going to be doing all that great coverage. And of course, we want to make sure that you know how to stay tuned in and basically watch all of our live coverage next week. And then, of course, we'll have all the content that'll be coming up. But first of all, of course, again, a warm welcome to the Hana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show, family members. And here in Hawaii, for those of you that don't know, Ohana really is basically another word for family. So if you're new to the show, welcome to the family, and I want to thank you for being a part of this audience. And if this is your first time checking the show out, really there's some great ways for you to stay connected, and it's real easy. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com, and second column of the website there's an orange box that basically has all your subscription options so that you can get subscribed to the show via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, or just use a regular regular podcatcher with an RSS feed. Also, you'll see a link to the newsletter at the top of the page. That newsletter basically contains everything, or will contain everything that I talk about during the show, gets emailed out immediately following. So if you're watching for the very first time tonight, I want to encourage you to get subscribed to the newsletter. That way you'll get the show notes from the show delivered directly to your inbox. I want to welcome the listeners from around the world. I think we are in every country minus a few. And quite literally, that is the truth. And but we're streaming today on live.geeknewscentral.com and on geeknewscentral.com itself as well. So this show will also be, once I get it in the can, essentially, it'll be made available up on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, on your iPhone, on your Android, wherever you could be able to get the show and listen or watch to it. If you have comments about today's show, it's real easy to reach me. You can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. That's the best way to kind of follow. And then, of course, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to email me. Or our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline is available at 619-342-7365. For those of you calling from overseas, that's +1 619-342-7365. CafePress.com/Ohana store is the place to get all the action wear for GNC. Supporting the show is a great way to do it. Partial of the revenue that is spent there from you comes back to the coffers here at GNC. And we're in a new tax year, so buy those shirts and jackets and t-shirts and everything else that's over there too. Well, I tell you, I want to take just a moment. You know, 2011 really is behind us at this point, but really there was a whole bevy of sponsors here last year that really made this show continue to rock and roll and allow us to move forward. And I want to thank them. And as we move into the new year here, we've got some great sponsors lined up. We're going to be talking about some new ones as well here in a few minutes. But of course, right now for Geek News Central, we have GoDaddy on board and Mozy. Later on in the month, we'll have GoToMyPC will be jumping in. So that's kind of a change from GoToMeeting. So GoToMyPC will be advertising here at GNC. So the sponsors are what keeps basically things moving here, allows us to go to CES and spend an outrageous amount of money setting up the studio and bandwidth and then bringing all that great content to you. So we hope that you'll continue to support the sponsors. Not only that, they keep my lights on and keep my family fed. And needless to say, my light bill continues to go up. I think we're paying, they announced 34 or 35 cents a kilowatt here. It's off the chart for some reason. Oil's low everywhere else, but here it's crazy. But anyway, long story short, we're definitely grateful for the sponsors and want to thank them. Start right off here, first off in the show, and we'll take care of one sponsor announcement right off the bat. And I've got a deal for you. This is a awesome deal. The folks over at GoDaddy have put us together a plan for CES where you're going to have a special offer made available to you. And this code's going to last a while, and it'll also work with sales. If you use the promo code CES2, you're going to get web hosting plans of 12 months or more for 25% off. And that's hard to beat anywhere. So again, save an extra 25% on one-year hosting plans by using the promo code CES2. Of course, I've got a lot of other codes at Geek News Central as well that you can use. And we want to encourage you, of course, to check all those out. And you can find those right on the main website. There's a link there that says GoDaddy on it. And just give you an example here of some of the regular codes. If you're not into a hosting account, you can use Geek5 to save 15% on any order, $20 or more. That's been a real popular one. Another one that's been real popular is Aloha, A-L-O-H-A. Aloha saves you $20 on any order, $75 or more. So if you get to that $75.01 and use that $20 gift certificate by using Aloha as a promo code, I used some domains. I renewed about 4 or 5 domains the other day, and I was able to use the code. I don't know how, but it worked. So definitely don't disregard that one. ComSale2 is my normal .com renewal code at $749. ComSale at $799 domains. Todd will save you 10%. They're all there at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All the codes are available and all the specials that we're running. So again, that 25% deal, CES2, is really the one that you need to pay attention to and use and share with your friends. And we definitely appreciate their support here. All right, let me go ahead and kind of talk about some of the things that are going on. I recorded a video earlier today, and I posted it up over on TPN.TV. And let's see if I can do this without screwing this up too bad. And of course, I'm not having much luck here with all the controls. And basically, it's a video of our TPN studio pack out. And go ahead and check that out. We put that up. It shows all the gear that I'm shipping out for CES. And I think my last total count was 19 total boxes that are going. Little worried about all of it fitting into the minivan when we get to Vegas, when we pick stuff up at the FedEx store. Time will tell if that's going to work out all right or not, because it's one of those things where you just got your fingers crossed, because we've grown in size a little bit in the stuff that we're taking from last year, but I'm not having as much stuff come in via rental. We'll just have to see how it all works out. One of the guys that is going to be a part of the team is Steve Lee. He's driving in from Tehachapi, California, and he'll be there on Saturday about noon, and he's got a pickup truck. So I told Steve, as soon as you get disconnected from your trailer and get your power turned on and, you know, the trailer leveled and everything, because he's going to be staying at an RV park late in Vegas area with his son. As soon as you get disconnected, you call me. I may need you come and help us with the pack out. But the difference between running a big van, you know, a big passenger van, which has all the seats in it, is like $1,200, where you have a minivan that you can get it like a Grand Caravan where all the seats fold down, is $600. There's a $600 difference in that. And even those big passenger vans, I don't think, unless we had them take the seats out, would fit everything. Maybe I'll get down there and say, oh, we just need to go get a U-Haul and rent a U-Haul for the day. Who knows? But it definitely has got my attention in a big way how much stuff we've got. And we'll know here in a couple of hours whether or not it'll all fit in my SUV. My wife said, well, my minivan will hold more than your SUV will. So we'll see. There might be two vehicles going to FedEx in the morning. But this, you know, it's an interesting time, and because most of the gear, you know, my studio is a little bit empty right now because all the stuff is packed up. Some of the cameras are gone already. I have just one main camera here in front on left. It's going to go in the packout case as soon as I hit stop record from this show. But it is an interesting time to see half the gear that I own go, you know, via FedEx out the door. All of it insured. So really the only time that it isn't insured is the time when it's between my time I take possession at FedEx, the time it gets in the hall. Well, if we have an accident in the minivan, I guess it's covered, but really I don't know how much. But then it's loaded up in the hall where insurance starts in the hall, where it makes me a little bit nervous with as much stuff as we've got on the move. But had a fun New Year's here. We just kind of kicked back. And, you know, it's interesting because Hawaii has this new law of there's not supposed to be a lot of fireworks going off. Aerials, everything out was supposed to be banned. You're not supposed to be able to buy certain stuff. Well, you could not tell it in my neighborhood because right at midnight, they just went in. Hawaii is like everybody's got fireworks. Everyone's got aerials. And it gets a little noisy and crazy. I was actually at about 11:50. My wife is like, I'm tired. Do you want to go to bed? And I'm like, yeah, we got to get up early. And I'll tell you about why we had to get up early. But so her and I were really kind of just preparing to go to bed right at about midnight when everything went off. My dog was going nuts and he jumped up on the bed and he never was allowed to get up on the bed. So he shooed him off and got him calmed down. And but, you know, they went on for 20, 30 minutes and we laughed. And but at 4, I woke up at 4. Woke the kids up at 4:30, and at 5 o'clock, we left the house. Yes, 5 a.m. on New Year's Day, we left the house. We drove over to a Diamond Head and got in the parking lot. There was a line to get in. It's a big tradition here in Hawaii. People climb Diamond Head and are on top of Diamond Head for New Year's. A lot of people walked in, but they don't open the gates to 6. So I got parked at maybe about 6:10. We hustled right up the mountain, which is about a mile and a half. Not mountain, but hill, mile and a half up Diamond Head. And we probably got to the top about 6:50 or so. And sunrise was at 7:03 Honolulu time. And it was perfect. We're up there and there was a little bit of cloud layer. And I put something up on Facebook and tweeted it for those of you that saw it. But so we're up there for right off the get go for New Year's Day, and got out of there about maybe 8:30. Went and had breakfast, and really what we did is we were going to go to a place we go to on a regular basis, but my wife says, you know, the Halekoa, which is a hotel in Waikiki that is caters to military people, and especially it's you can't get a room there unless you have you're a friend of a military person or you are retired. She says, why don't we go to the brunch there? I've heard it's really good. So I said, yeah, let's go ahead and try it. What a great call. I mean, that was the best move we made in a while. And my wife, being the one always to find coupons, she found 2-for-1 deals. And my youngest one, 8, they didn't charge him. It was fabulous. I mean, it was extraordinary. Lamb chops. Just on and on and on, this huge spread. And when I got my bill with the 2-for-1 deal, I was shocked it was so low. So the waiter got one heck of a New Year's Day tip. And we had a great time and then did some shopping. And we're actually in the process of trying to find a new mattress for our master bedroom suite. So we went around looking at those. People had stuff on sale. And other than that, it was a kind of a weird New Year's Day. But I've been spending today here, January 2nd, kind of doing the final things, wrapping up for getting out of here, getting the pet stuff packed out and out of here tomorrow. But got a good show for you lined up. and talked enough here. So let's go ahead and get into the tech. Let's take care of the last pair of a little bit of business here before we do so. And I want to thank the folks over at Mosey. And I'm really beginning to really enjoy this product. Much more so than a previous sponsor we had on here. And in fact, I will probably discontinue that sponsor's product when my term comes up. But I got all my business machines backed up. And you know, one thing about this operation here, a single hard drive going down, especially at the wrong time, could really put me in a world of hurt. So when it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right. And hiring good people, choosing the right location. But one thing that is often overlooked, obviously, is protecting the data that powers your business. Computer servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure and data loss, with over 140,000 hard drives failing every single week. Now, that's a pretty crazy number. Mosey Pro for Business backs up Windows PCs, Macs, and servers for over 70,000 organizations, from small companies like mine to large corporations like GE, Starwood, Hotels, Accenture, and Subway restaurants. Mosey Pro is also the backup solution for nonprofits and educational institutions like Stanford University, the Yale School of Management, and many, many more. And that's a testament to the folks at Mosey. You know, Paul, who owns an accounting firm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, tried other backup solution but ran into space and cost issues that prohibited secure protection of the company's data. Paul says, with Mosey, my data is securely backed up where the internet is stored far away at secure data centers. He says, but I feel it's like it's right at my fingertips. So if your business is not backed up by Mosey Pro, you really need to make sure your data is backed up. Give my friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup services. Right now, you can save 15% by using that promo code podcast15. I want you to pick up the phone and call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit moseypro.com. That's MOZYPRO.com. Thanks, Mosey Pro, for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central and supporting us. And we hope that you'll support them. Definitely check them out. Great product and easy to implement, really is. All right, I got a large stuff in the stack here. Oh, one last thing we get into the content. Haven't announced it on the website yet, but the folks over at Callisto.fm have came on as one of our sponsors for CES 2012. We'll be talking about more about them at CES. So for content creators out there, this is going to be a cool product for you. I've gotten in-chopped on what they're doing. So I think this is going to be a great way to introduce some new media services while we're at CES. And of course, GoToMyPC is going to be one of our key sponsors as well. So we've got GoDaddy, GoToMyPC, and Callisto.fm being our sponsors for our CES 2012 coverage. I want to thank Michael for coming on board as a sponsor. He basically, you know what he did? He saw one of my Google Plus announcements saying, hey, we'd signed a second sponsor. We had one spot left. And he said, send me over the packet of information. And I did. And I mean, 15 minutes later, he says, what a deal. We're in. And it was the easiest ad spot I've ever sold. And I want to thank Michael over there and look forward to working with him. And we're probably going to be doing some things with him at Raw Voice too. So it's kind of cool product he's getting ready to launch. But anyway, we'll cover that later. Hey, if you are into maps and wall maps specifically, the folks over at Slate have been promoting what they're calling the greatest paper map of the United States that you will ever see. And someone to say that is just pretty extraordinary. But the gentleman that did this map, and I don't think it'll blow up on the page, and I've yet to find out where we can order this thing. But the gentleman that did this did it by hand. He did it by computer, but used a hand. But he's a cartographer, and this thing has amazing features. Now, let me zoom in here. Well, you probably can't see it on the live video. But every city, he's taken the extra time to kind of point out features and places to visit right on the world map itself, which is kind of an interesting move. One thing he did for Chicago was he listed like famous places like Wrigley Field, Sears Tower, Northwestern University, University of Chicago, Grant Park, and so forth. Whereas you compare that to a regular map, and none of that has it on there. But this was named the map of the year, and I guess the guy spent like 2 years straight and has over 3,000 hours, no, 6,000 man hours in editing this. So we'll have to see where we get this ordered from. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. Non-technical, but I thought cool nonetheless. If you are going to CES, don't forget the CES Android app. It's available. And check that out. I didn't find the iPad app or the iPhone app. So I don't know what the story is this year. Maybe there isn't one, but there is one for Android available. And link will be up in the show notes for those of you that are going. How many of you have ever been to postsecret.com? It's a kind of a cool site. It originally started out where people would mail in postcards with a secret on it, and they would put that up on the website. And they had an app for PostSecret, and he's had to shut down the iPhone app due to abusive posts. He says about 1% of those that were posting secrets was malicious. It had porn. It had threats. It was malicious. And they get like 30,000 secrets are submitted a day. So it's very hard. It was hard for their small staff to stay ahead of this. And even more became a liability issue and the whole nine yards. So they have basically removed the app and have done so reluctantly, which is pretty sad, because if you read through the PostSecret website, there's some pretty revealing stuff there. And people, you know, it's just like people putting stuff in front of their faces and making statements. And but anyway, this is information is available on the PostSecret blog. And he feels bad about having to do it. And he's had FBI issues because of the app. And so that's obviously not a good way to go. So I'll have a link up for you in the show notes. Now, you think we've got it bad here in the United States with this thing going down with SOPA, but website blocking law has been implemented by the new Spanish government. Spain's new government has wasted no time in approving tough new legislation to combat unauthorized file sharing. After less than 2 weeks in power, the Partido Popular government has fully implemented the so-called Cindy Law. The Spaniards can look forward to previously illegal sites being blocked by ISPs are shut down completely, all within 10 days of a rights holder's complaint. So a right holder can complain and they will force the ISP to block, or if they're on a Spanish ISP, request that they remove that. Now, to go a little step further, if you live in Belarus, this is even more insane. According to the U.S. Library of Congress, the Public Republic of Belarus has now made it illegal and a misdemeanor to basically surf any site in Belarus's web. You just can't go any. You can't surf the net. According to U.S. Library of Congress, the Republic of Belarus has just recently published a law making it illegal for Belarusian citizens and residents access and or use of foreign websites, particularly for commercial purposes. Violations of the law are recognized as a misdemeanor and can result in a charge up to $125. $125. The law requires companies and individuals that are registered as entrepreneurs to use only domestic domains for providing online services, conducting sales, or exchanging email messages. So this means that any domain holder with any connection to an outside service will likely have to forfeit their domains. The law begins on January 6th, completely destroying the benefits that an open web can have in an economy and quality of life for its citizens. Now, this serves in contrast to what was put in effect in Malaysia, which requires restaurants in Kuala Lumpur, the second largest city in Malaysia, to have Wi-Fi. So, you know, here you are. If you have a restaurant, you have to have Wi-Fi available for your restaurant patrons. So, you know, wow, Belarus. It's now illegal to visit a foreign website. So if you're a Belarus listener and you're listening to Geek News Central, we're sorry. I'm sure it's not going to stop you from listening, But what kind of insanity is this? This just goes to show you, when the government goes off the tracks, they go off the tracks. Here's some additional parts of this bill. It says the law states that the owners and administrators of internet cafes or other places that offer access to internet might be found guilty of violating this law and fined, and their businesses might be closed if users of internet services provided by these places are found visiting websites located outside of Belarus. And if such behavior of the client was not properly identified, recorded, and reported. Holy cow. It's also going to apply to private individuals if they allow your friends to come over and surf the net. So this is crazy. Crazy, crazy stuff. Boy, you thought SOPA was bad. It's bad enough. According to numerous sources, and where I pulled this from was Engadget, it appears that Apple is gearing up for a media-related announcement later this month. So, Apple's avoiding CES, but it's going to be announcing some stuff. So we'll see what happens, when and where, I don't know. It's be rumored that they're going to be making a major media-related announcement. So I wonder if they're going to break with tradition and come out from behind the curtain and talk about Apple TV. Maybe they're going to have to publicly talk about it to move forward. I don't know. But we'll see what they announce in the coming weeks. All right, there's been an Apple TV that's, the hockey puck Apple TV that's been jailbroke. And there's a very, very cool video. And it shows that iOS apps running on an Apple TV at 720p, and this actually shows them running. This is pretty cool. 3-minute video. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. But I'm pretty excited to see this kind of stuff happening with a jailbroke Apple TV. So I'm going to have to do that. At $99, who cares? Hey, those of you in Europe, have you heard about this potential of this new super volcano? I guess every 12,000 years, there's a volcano in the heart of Europe that goes boom. And I mean, a big boom. It's been 12,900 years since the last big boom. And I guess there's some people that are a little bit worried about this thing. And scientists are saying that the volcano can go at any time. He says, although there are no official alerts. I guess this thing's been rumbling since 2010. But, and I guess Yellowstone will go at the same time. Maybe the 2012 Mayan prophecy will come true. See how the Gizmodo did that? Boom. Okay. This is a cool one. Over at torrentfreak.com, they talk about turning a WordPress site into a BitTorrent tracker. This is really cool. It's called WP DAC Trader, and it's so that you can run, basically put files up as BitTorrents on your own website, making them available as a torrent download. This is exciting stuff. I've been looking for, I ran a torrent tracker for a while for Geek News Central distribution of the show when we were getting tight on bandwidth, and several hundred of you used it, so it really didn't make a big difference. But turn any WordPress site into a BitTorrent tracker. This is a new plugin. And you can have a fully functioning BitTorrent site up in a few minutes. And you can have it as a public torrent index or a private torrent tracker with strict ratio enforcement. And it's still a little buggy yet. They're working on it. But this is probably going to grow out of control. And you talk about people running an open BitTorrent tracker, that comes with its own risk. So fair warning there. I would keep things as a private tracker. And hopefully it limits what you can hopefully I would have complete control of what it would be making available. But to run that on my server would be awesome. All right. I've always looking for tools, different stuff in sync. I have enough computers around here that I like to keep my email, my documents, all that stuff in sync. And I've been using Google Docs a lot more. So whether if you're using Windows or Mac, there's a new service called InSync. It's a service that syncs Google Docs with your local machine so you don't have to use your browser. And this is pretty cool. So it's available now, and it's focused. NSYNC was originally open as a beta, but it's launched now. And very cool. It you can zip stuff and send it down. Currently, they charge, you know, Google charges you for additional space, but now you can just pull stuff off and not have to have it all on there. But NSYNC could end up being a cheaper than Dropbox, although Dropbox has some pretty good features as well. All right, let's talk about an issue going on in Ohio. Apparently, we've talked about fracking before, right? So state leaders have ordered four fluid injection wells in eastern Ohio. State leaders have ordered that four fluid injection wells in eastern Ohio will be indefinitely prohibited from opening in the aftermath of a heightened seismic activity in the area. Ohio Department of Natural Resources Director James Zangheinger has announced on Friday that the wells, which inject fluid deep underground, they're not going to be allowed to do this. There was a magnitude 4.0 earthquake on Saturday, and this is about forty times more energy than any of the previous 10. Was within about a 5-mile radius of where this activity was going on, and so they want to know how this is going on. Now, if you have been following this. Fluid injection, when they pump this fluid at high pressure, it causes the sandstone and stuff to crack. It releases natural gas and any oil in which they can get out. And so they're feeling that cracking the shale is causing the earth to settle and causing these earthquakes. So we'll see where this is. You know, Ohio is pretty far from any of the major tectonic plates, and with the nearest one being in the Atlantic Ocean in the Caribbean. So, there may be some smaller ones deeper, but there is a deep concern here. So Ohio's shutting them down for now. We'll see how this develops over time. Well, because of SOPA, a lot of companies are now reporting that they are going to think about doing the nuclear option. Amazon, Facebook, Google are planning and considering a coordinated blackout of the internet. I think this has made the news around the town already, but it looks like it's becoming more of a reality, and they may be close to setting on a date. So we'll see what happens with this. The politicians in the music industry the politicians may be in the pockets of the music industry and the entertainment industry, but we need to start having more voice and more impact there. So hopefully Google and Facebook and those folks able to team up and do something and make people more aware. You know, you shut down Google for a couple of days, Google search for a couple of days. What a way to get awareness. How many days have you gone in between using Google? I would dare say that most people probably use Google on a multiple times a day. And if search is not available, wow, what a way to get the word out, right? Did you guys know that the moon was not our only moon? There's apparently quite a few small asteroids and other types of debris that are called temporarily captured orbiters. And basically, they are sucked in by the Earth's gravity and are they orbit the Earth for a while, usually about a year. And then sometimes they get ejected, which is weird. I don't know how they get ejected. And so TCOs, as they call them, happen regularly enough that scientists are starting to track them. And it's very interesting here how they're looking at these. So scientists now are considering some sort of a science mission to remotely characterize meteorites that get into these basically orbits around the Earth and maybe don't have to go so far from home to get access to them. So anyway, pretty cool stuff. Link will be up in the show notes. There's a good write-up on KrebsOnSecurity.com. Of course, these folks have a great antivirus package. So they've wrote on about PharmaWars and how each one of us has probably got a spam email asking us to buy some sort of enhancement drug or something like that. And there's some insight now into some of these rings and how they work and how much they charge and what they're being used with now. And you know, there's a whole business around this, and it's showing how much people are potentially making of captured chat logs. So I have the link up in the show notes on this. You got to go through and read it. But it's a pretty insightful on the business of basically spam and also selling machines to attack other machines for denial of services attacks and a variety of other purposes. So anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to review on that. Again, it's at KrebsOnSecurity.com is where the original article came from. On the 4th, be aware here on January 4th, there's going to be a small meteorite shower. It's going to light up the northern sky in the early morning of January 4th. Be available of that. It's called Quaternids. And this is a time that we'll have about 200 meteorites per hour. The average is about 60 to 100. So this is going to be a little bit of a burst on that day. I don't know how they can figure all that out, but they do. I guess I hear my hair movement in the living room. I have the door open here. I think my son is back from the ice rink. And my wife is talking with my son. Interesting. Okay, so they're all back. Chrome nears 20% share. Yeah, Chrome. Chrome is on the climb here. Microsoft Internet Explorer is basically dropping, but Chrome is gaining and has surpassed Firefox, not surprisingly. So we'll see where this leads over the coming weeks. Verizon, over pressure and public outcry, has dropped its $2 payment fee. Oh, also in face of FCC scrutiny. So as we heard on Thursday, the wireless telecom basically said it would begin charging consumers a $2 convenience fee for some bill paying after January 15th. And basically Verizon has reversed that and basically said, well, we're going to have to go back and look at this. But basically, the FCC told the New York Times it would look into the $2 charge, which would apply to any customer making one-time payments online or over the phone using credit or debit cards. And $2, you know, come on, it doesn't cost me $2 to process a credit card. I guess they figure the time that it's all automated. You press a little, you know, you do it on the telephone, for goodness sakes. So it's absurd. Cost of doing business. Jonathan Ivey's been knighted in the UK, and congratulations to him. Apple's chief designer, Jonathan Ivey, has been appointed a knight commander of the British Empire in the Queen's New Year honor list. So congratulations to him. What's it, you know, what's it take to get knighted? I guess that's a pretty big deal over in the UK. Congratulations to him. And I'm sure there will be a ceremony. There's all kinds, you know, in Britain, there's all kinds of awards that people can get and different medals, and the Queen is it does a huge number every year. And I actually saw something, where did I see that? I saw some documentary one time on TV about the whole process and the keeper of the medals and the listings and all the other stuff. So anyway, he is now going to be Sir Jonathan Ivey, and it's going to be bestowed upon himself by the Queen personally at a later date. So we'll see. I'm sure this will make news later. So the Apple team has their first knight. The Commodore 64 is 30 years old. Wow, that's just amazing. If you think about that, 30 years ago, the Commodore 64 was basically made available on the street, and it's made its debut at the Consumer Electronics Show 30 years ago. It didn't go into production until a full year later, but it was introduced and showed off. And so anyway, some good history there. Hang on, I'm going to shut the door here. And okay, that will keep the noise from the living room from coming in. Asus faces customer backlash over Transformer Prime locked bootloader. The electronic giant has been the subject of intense criticism over the release of its new Transformer Prime tablet. After it emerged, the company had locked the bootloader, 128K encryption on its bootloader. Of course, this happened originally to some other companies as well. HTC was one of them, and it was criticized so heavily that they ultimately made the made an unlocker for people to use. So you're not going to be able to load your own ROM on this. And people are not at all happy about it. We'll see if they bow to public pressure. Hey, there's a company out there called Course, actually getting ready to launch, called CourseKit. And I've always thought that there was that online education could really be a business of the future. And CourseKit has raised $5 million from Joel Spolsky, David Tisch, and IA Ventures. CourseKit is a builds itself as an academic social network, has raised $5 million then, and they're going to use that to finish building it out. And this is pretty cool. This business is not to compete with Blackboard by selling software. It's to create large audiences of students and teachers that we can then leverage for all sorts of things. What I really think it needs to do is needs to be a online school. Why do you have to have brick and mortar anymore? You don't. Why can't the educational system be completely on the internet? You know, why can't my kid get an advanced degree and long as he meets all the task requirements and turns in all the papers and does everything he's supposed to do, you know, why do you have to go to some institution? Obviously the experience and, you know, the networking, but we all work online now. We all network online. We all work with different tools. And I don't understand, it's because it's a business is what it is. Education is a business today. And they're not about to, over time, I think it'll happen, but they're not about to revert to allowing everything to go through the internet. Now, I did all my classes. I did everything through Emory-Riddle online. I did every course. It was hard because the work, they hold you to a higher standard because you're not sitting in class and you have to do a lot more work. But boy, I tell you, it's a lot better than getting in a car and going sitting in a class for 3 hours a couple nights a week. You can do that extra time right in the comfort of your home. It's awesome. Google has launched its U.S. edition of basically its election site. So it's called google.com/elections. It's going to provide vote and journalists with up-to-date news about campaigns, as well as easy to access Google's own tools for those directly involved in the political process. And so anyway, you want to check that out, google.com/elections. Let me see. Let's load this site up and see what it looks like. Oh, it gives me a Google. It gives me a 404 error when I load that. Is it google.com/? So the folks over at Silicon Filter did not get the site right. So let's do another thing. Let's try another thing here. Let's do a new tab and let's search for Google election. And see what that comes up with. There's a maps.google/vote. And there's electioncenter.googlelabs.com. But I don't see anything. There's something. google.com/elections/eds/es. Okay, there's a better address. Let's show you guys that. They're up watching the video. So here's a little different. It's a politics and elections section. So it's google.com/elections/ed/US. So that's where it's all at. So we'll see what this, if you're watching the election stuff, which we're all going to be sick of, or if we're already sick of, will be hammering us in our television and radio and everything else where you guys watch media. I think the safest place right now is to be on the net. At least it's not in your face so bad. All right, Dave Weiner has announced his blogger of the year. He says, every year when I have it together, I name someone blogger of the year. It's always a person, never an organization. He says, some of the folks that have been on the list are Jay Rosen, Naked Jen, Julian Assange. But this year is Richard Stallman. He says, Richard Stallman is a blogger and he came across his feed. I'm going to go look at Richard's website. I don't know if I've name's familiar. I don't know if I've been over his site before. And Stallman.org. And let me close that. I guess he's got a weird site. I guess I'm impressed. Not. And I guess he just has an information. And I don't call this guy a blog. Let me show you what Weiner calls a blogger of the year. This is kind of a weird pick. I don't get it. Oh, I actually had the other site up. This is what his site looks. It's like something out of the early 80s. Horrible design. My goodness. So anyway, I have that up in the show notes. I have his article. You guys can judge for yourself whether that guy's the blogger of the year. Hey, if you go into Walmart and you walk up to the cashier and you hand her a $1 million note, you expect to go to jail. Yeah, some dude decided that he purchased $465 worth of stuff, and he handed the cashier a $1 million banknote. Now, you know, if he would have gave the lady a $100 bill that he'd run off his printer, he might have got away with it. But the U.S. government discontinued the $500, $1,000, $5,000, and $10,000 bills. The largest bill ever introduced was a $100,000 note used by the Federal Reserve Bank. There's never been a $1 million note. So, so he got arrested. And he got himself a New Year's present. I actually had seen some $500 notes before, and I think I saw some $1,000 notes before they were discontinued. That was years ago. But I don't think they were, I think they even then they were no longer in circulation. I think they were already out of circulation, but I saw one someplace, maybe in a museum or something. But anyway, I never have handled one, but they're not available anymore. And the U.S. government doesn't like those big bills moving that kind of cash. I'm sure that the drug folks would love to be able to have $500 bills or $1,000 bills. Come to think of it, the way the economy is, it'd be nice to have $1,000 bills now and have, instead of having to carry around if you empty your bank account and are worried about the banking system, the economy going to crap, it's a nice way to consolidate cash. Of course, probably the paper wouldn't be worth any more than toilet paper, but things go south. But anyway, long story short, the guy's in jail. All right, how to get unlimited data on Verizon right now. Now, I'm going to do a Gizmodo article that supposedly is going to let you get unlimited data. And they got an 8-step process to go through. And I'm just going to tell you, buyer beware of this. But they say this is a way to get unlimited bandwidth for $29.99. And we'll see. We'll see where this goes and how this is going to work. But be aware that some people are able to do this through their automated system. All right, I'm sorry if you are, I think there's someone out there alien-wise, where we definitely can't be alone here in this universe as well. But they're apparently out in Nevada, in the near future, they're going to be open up a new, place of business in around Area 51. And the theme is going to be alien. Daily alien workers. And I'm going to be very careful on how I say that on this Family Safe show here, because when you guys see the article, you're going to laugh. But there's going to be a new business of ill repute that is going to be alien themed. Wow. Okay. I guess that's now we're having theme brothels. Oh, my goodness. All right, this is on the weird part. And please don't tell me if you buy this, but there is a new Steve Jobs action figure. And the Gizmodo says it looks pretty freaky good. In other words, pretty realistic. And I'm looking at the pictures. If this is the real pictures of the action figure and what it really looks like, oh my goodness. Wow. I have a link in the show notes. $100. And I'm sure that someone is going to C&D cease and desist this from the manufacturer pretty doggone quick. So if you want to get it ordered, do it now. If it costs you $100. All right. The folks from Philips are the ones that powers the lights in the New Year's ball in New York City. And the Times Square ball is lit up with 32,296 individual lights. Did you know that the ball remains lit year-round now? And I don't know exactly what they do. I'd like to see a picture of it. I guess they must have raised it up and leave it on. but the LED lights that are in this thing are estimated to last as much as 25 times longer than a regular incandescent light bulb. So probably around 25 years. So I have the link in the show notes on that. And Susabel writes about how the prices of those are coming down. And at some point we'll be replacing our the CFLs with LED lights. Susabel also writes about the price of a free Kindle and how her bank basically, because she was a good customer and was doing certain actions, not coming into the bank, doing online deposits and so forth, awarded her with a free Kindle. And she was pretty excited to get it. And when she got it and plugged it in, she immediately saw an ad for a Twilight book. And she was like, wow. So this free Kindle that she received is basically nothing more than a big advertising billboard. And she says, I'm pretty annoyed. I suppose if I'd been buying the Kindle, I'd have to choose the non-ad supported one. But in this case, I didn't have any choice. So therefore, I have no way of turning off the ads. I guess I'm stuck with them for the life of the device. I understand it. I really do. Companies need to make money, especially in this economy. But really, ads on my Kindle, which my bank did pay for after all, really? Well, I think probably what happened is their bank is probably getting a kickback on the ads. I would imagine that's what's going on there. Hey, Trucker Tom wrote a good article about the Nest thermostat, and he's pretty jazzed about this. You know, he says when he's obviously on the road a lot, he turns the heat way down when he's traveling. But he says when he gets home, it always takes a while for the heat to come up because it, you know, takes a couple hours for the house to warm up. But now with this new controller, he can control it with his phone and actually have the heat go back up a couple hours before he gets home, so he has a warm home. So he's a pretty big fan of this device. I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. And he says even I guess he's got his parents. I don't know if his parents live with him or a separate separate home, but anyway, she even was not even intimidated by this. So very, very cool on what his review here of this is. And we've talked about this Nest thermostat. I think we're actually having them on in CES. We get to see a live demo of this device. It should have been talked about enough, that's for sure. Okay, if you've got comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. There's been more information about the LG screen that's going to be introduced. And I guess this is a private event. So I don't even know if they can officially say they're part of CES. But anyway, LG claimed that by incorporating the company's 4-color pixel and color, it refines features and makes it cheaper to build. And they claim that an infinite contrast ratio with the utmost clarity and sharpness and capabilities are technically impossible with LED and LCD displays. They also claim the display is 1,000 times faster than traditional LED and LCD display. And of course, they're going to be revealing this on January 9th at 8 p.m. So we'll definitely, if we're near where LG is going to be announcing this, we'll definitely have this for you. And I got to go back and double check all my invites, make sure we're in there. Do you know that Stanford University has an archive, a huge archive of Apple stuff? Housing a climate-controlled storage facility with nearly 600 feet of shelf space is dedicated to preserve documents, videos, and memorabilia of Apple in its early days as a young startup. And they've got all kinds of cool videos and stuff that the public's never seen. I have a link up in the show notes on that. So I'm sure at some point there will be an Apple museum. And I guess Stanford is the one that's supposed to be managing all that. So time will tell when that happens. The Microsoft-approved Windows Phone 7 Unlocker has been discontinued. The Chevron WP7 is no longer available. If you remember, the Chevron WP7 was selling $9 tokens to unlock Windows Phone 7. It appears that the agreement made with Microsoft, they could not sell more than 10,000 tokens, but apparently those have already they reached their cutoff. And Chevron WP7 spokesperson Rafael Riviera wrote, Microsoft isn't involved in our discussions yet, and they can't provide us with more unlocks because we haven't asked yet. So we'll see what happens with this. Now, right now, the only unlocker is Microsoft with its own App Hub, which will set you back $99 versus $9. So you can still unlock it. You just can't get the Chevron WP7 app. NASA has two spacecraft entering moon's orbit. They're going to be doing gravitational field measurements this spring. So that's, we're back in business on the moon doing all kinds of cool stuff. So those are up there getting aligned in all the things that they do. Sprint apparently is heavily involved with LightSquared, but they gave LightSquared an extra 30 days to gain FCC approval of their spectrum. So Sprint had already signed an agreement that would see the two companies share spectrum and equipment as they build out their respective LTE agreements. And but LightSquared has to get their FCC approval, and they've got issues over GPS interference. So we'll see where that where this leads. At the end of the, I've got a few things here at the end of tonight. I'm not going to share, I'm not going to go through these, but I found a bunch of these top 10, top 12, top 15 list. Got some couple here from GigaOhm. One is a talking about what's going to happen with Apple and their iDevices. Got one here, some startup companies to watch, cloud startup companies, some app favorites of the year, and some other things here as well. And I've got some cool tools for you to consider as an app to download. So two or three articles there that are kind of about those best of 2011 type things. And that's all I was really going to cover in tonight's show. I do have not too bad of a news day for being really everyone's still kind of on holiday until tomorrow. And I've got some emails that have come in. Some I can read, some I cannot. But first thing I want to read comes from Darian. He says, "Hey, Todd. I absolutely love WP7. The user interface is smooth, easy to operate, and is never locked up on me. Whenever I show it to others, they always comment how fast and smooth I'm able to complete a task. The People Hub makes it very easy to keep up with all contacts via email, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google, SMS. It keeps a log of all those correspondences, which means it makes it easy to pick up where you left off. If you choose to, you can create a live title of any particular contact, which is updated with their last correspondence. The title will show an image of the person, then in a few seconds, flip over to reveal the last Twitter, Facebook, email. Live titles are not just used for contacts, but virtually any app can take advantage of the live titles. For example, a newspaper app that I use constantly updated with the latest headlines or news folder on the side, then flips over to show the current weather. All this is done with no lockups, lags. If you should lose your phone, there's a built-in ability to ring it and put up a custom message, lock it with a custom password, or erase the phone of all your data off it. Then there's Microsoft Office Mobile Suite, which allows you to create and update Word, Excel, or PowerPoint documents on the go. There are many other built-in features as navigation, voice commands, music recognition, text scanning, and translation, and barcode scanning. Sure, iPhone and Android have more apps, but WP7 is the most of the well-known apps, which with more added every day. There are just a few of the reasons why I really like my Windows phone and would suggest that anyone looking for a new smartphone should seriously look at it. You can run a web-based test drive at, and he gives me the link here. I'll provide that in the show notes. Love the show, and thanks for all the great info. By the way, listen on Zune on WP7. Thanks again, Darian. Hey, thank you so much. Got an email here from Donna. She says, "I listened to your podcast on my Android phone using Dogcatcher. I haven't started listening to audio podcasts on my Kindle Fire since. I listen in the car and while walking my dogs. As for comments about public ed, I'm researching more about the School of One program in New York City. We certainly need to rethink some of the requirements for our K-12 schools, Donna East in Easton, Pennsylvania." I got an email here from a friend of mine and he wrote me a fantastic email, and I want to thank Peter for that email. I know you're listening, Peter. Thank you for the email as well. Got an email here from Steve. He says, "Hey, Todd, I finally had a chance to watch your show. It's unfortunate some individuals don't have the knowledge of news reporting nor business in lieu of listening to the internet bowels when it comes to SOPA. You are right on point in your stance and reasoning. I saw the hurt in your face with regards to listener emails. I know you won't throw in a towel because a few misled individuals." He says, "You're truly loved by thousands in what you do and who you are. I also know what filthy correspondents can do. That's my brief note. Thanks for standing proudly behind your sponsor and supportive fans." Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. Got an email from Max. He said, "Hey, Todd, I started listening to you years ago on my PSP, moved to the Zune, then the Zune HD, and now I'm used BeyondPod on my HTC Evo. It's an Android phone, though it's a robust program. I do miss my Zune and wish these companies would play nice and run each other's programs. Happy and safe New Year. Really appreciate the work you do. Max from New York." Got an email from Robert. "Hey, Todd, since you're a cord cutter, I was wondering if you know anything about US TV. Streams live TV of the internet. I understand it was first developed for soldiers overseas to watch TV per the internet. Now it's available for all. The basic plan is completely free. It includes all the major terrestrial stations that, as an American citizen or resident, you would normally be able to receive free. ABC, CBS, CW, Fox, NBC, PBS. You can upgrade to a later paid plan with more channels and DVR. No credit card info is required to sign up for the free plan. I've tried the free plan. The stream is pretty good. I think the paid plan for more channels is too high, but the free plan gets all the major networks. I have not cut the cord yet from cable, but having these three major networks might just do the trick. USTVnow.com is where the link is. Robert out of Tennessee. You got an email from Frank. He said, Todd, I could listen between the lines. It was clear you received abusive emails regarding the GoDaddy situation. Even though I've been communicating online since the FidoNet days, I'm still often surprised and appalled at what persons consider to be acceptable online public discourse. You know what, Frank? The BBS days were more brutal. Those guys knew how to dish it out. I mean, they could dish it out. He said, I draw a different lesson from this. You and I, I'm sure others, spoke with GoDaddy in a reasoned manner. GoDaddy changed their position. I doubt that a cascade of abuse would have produced such a positive outcome. A long time ago, I was working in customer relations. I decided that the mark of a company is not whether or not it ever makes a mistake. That is an impossible standard. The mark of a company is whether or not, when it makes a mistake, it fixes it. One of my directors once said that the hardest lesson she learned on her trip up the corporate ladder was that vice presidents make mistakes too. GoDaddy's made a mistake, then they fixed it. They deserve credit, not abuse. Keep up the good fight on behalf of net neutrality. Thanks, Frank. Got an email from Don, and thanks for the happy new year. And he says, Todd, I've been in business for over 35 years and had to deal with all types of people and personalities in my line of work. I want you to know that in the short time I've known you, you are one of the brightest, most honorable people I've had the pleasure of knowing and working with in a very long time. You're total unrelenting. See, this is too much. Make my head blow up here. Don, thanks for that. I appreciate it. And I'm not going to go through this at the entire email, but your comments are nice. Thank you so much. I got an email from Jack. He said, hey, Todd, I thought it was on show 732. You asked what software people use to download GNC. I had my phone use iTunes in the past, but I found an app called Downcast. I never had to sync with the iTunes to download podcasts. It downloads my subscription on a regular basis. I also have the audio version downloaded to my iPhone and video podcast downloaded to my iPad. I love it and highly recommend it, Jack. Thanks, Nigel, for your comments. And also, okay, we'll go in here a little bit later and talk something else. Got an email from Marshula. Sorry, Todd, I had my Gmail hack, but caught it before the 5 cent 5 emails. Love your podcast. I think we've already covered this. And okay, so let me go back here and talk about our, just real quick before we close for the night. I want to talk about the money we've raised so far for our support staff at CES. We've had about $730 in donations. I'm going to be kicking in probably another $1,500. So that's going to take us to about $2,200. We're still about $2,500, $2,800 short of the $5,000 amount I want to raise. We're probably going to continue to raise money throughout CES and basically having folks contribute. Do want to thank everyone. We had a big one come in at the end of last show as a $200 contribution. I want to thank the contributor for that. He asked that I not name him. Also, we had some other small ones. Ron, I want to thank for his contribution. But I'll have that link and information in the show notes again. Just as a reminder to everyone, the folks, a large number of the folks that are coming that are behind the scenes are either executive editors or they are support people here at the show. They're support people for the other podcasts, and many of them are not full-time salaried folks. And they come, and a lot of them spend a lot of money on out of their own pocket. And the reason we're raising money to help the support staff is so that we can offset some of their additional expenses. The three sponsors help. We'll be able to cover some more cost, but it's a huge, huge affair. And what I want to do here at the end of the show, and I don't think I've got it queued. I can cue it real quick. Let me add this. Oh boy, it's not in. Oh yeah, I can add it. All right. What I'm going to do is show you guys a video of our pack out that we've got for CES. And I did a little video in my living room, and you'll be able to check that out. We had no voicemails come in, so no voicemails to go over. But before I close here and show you guys my pack out for CES, You know, just keep in mind what it's taken to bring that coverage to you and the way we bring it. And, you know, we don't have this big, huge staff like CNET or the Gizmodos of the world. We're a small group of independent content creators. I think we do a pretty doggone good job in doing what we do with the resources we have. But anyway, I'm going to run this video on our pack out of our gear. And then we'll close the show. I filmed this with a camera just holding it up to my face. So it's a little weird when I run it. Anyway, so here comes that video. And then this will be the last video show. Thursday show will definitely be all audio. Okay. All audio for Thursday show, because there's the TriCaster will be in Vegas and the cameras too. So anyway, I'm going to run this, and then we're going to pack stuff up and get the show published. Until next time, take care and aloha.